This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens,
and three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson on WEEI.
That was the best golf moment of his life, and for a lot of golf fans, it was one of the best days of their lives as well. A fine moment for the Masters, the 89th it was, no less, wouldn't you know, Mego, down there at beautiful Augusta, and a moment that shall live in perhaps springtime, no, 2025, no, 21st century lore, as one of the finest there was. Almost crapping the bed in front of tens of millions and then coming through to deliver the glory and the history. You know, I the first thing that came to my mind,
you got to do that all show. You just did it for 45 seconds. You got to do it for 4 hours.
You know, the first thing that came to mind as I was intermittently running between me yard where I was doing work with me missus, making sure me boys didn't fall into the fire pit we had lit because it was getting a wee bit chilly outside.
With also me cooking. Jenny.
I just poured a fresh pint. Twasn't me first. Spoiler, twouldn't be me last.
Not putting my donkey outside when I'm sad.
Oh, Joseph, you always be forgetting your hat. You know, anyway. the first thing I thought, and hello, everybody. This is WEEI Afternoons. Fitzy and Mego here with you from 2 to 6 p.m. on 93.7 FM, WEEI, WEEI.com, our fabulous network of affiliates all throughout Massachusetts and the 5.5 gray states of New England, the hell with Southern Connecticut. And, of course, the Odyssey app. Download it today, AUDACY. Check out all of our podcasts, our shows, 6A to 6P. Hey, 6A to 10P. You know, can't just be forgetting Christian Arcand and Red Sox broadcast. Great show today we have lined up for you. Of course, we're going to talk some golf. We're going to talk some baseball. We're going to talk some hockey. We're going to talk some basketball. The Celtics finished their season. Mercifully, the Bruins are just about to finish their season as well. The draft. I don't know if you heard, Mego. The draft is in a week and a half. Oh, my.
Yep.
And yesterday was quite a thrilling moment as well. We may get a quick call from our pal John Lyons, who was crazy enough, must be on Jordan's good side. He actually went down to UNC to check out a Bill Belichick-led North Carolina Tar Heels football program practice, which just screams football guy. But that's, of course, what our guy Johnny Lyons does for .com and on the weekends as well. But I got to say, the highlight of this, and I know we don't typically open golf. This will probably be the one time all year long that on an afternoon show on a Boston sports radio station, we open with golf. But considering the scope, specter, and significance of yesterday's win by Rory McIlroy, the way in which he did it, and what this means, not just for golf history or even just like sports history on American soil, to me, the first thing I thought was, on a personal moment, as I was watching it with the family after he hit that insane shot on 18 on the playoff hole, that 3-iron that he hit that was just absolutely algorithmically perfect, thinking like he's going to crap the bed. He's going to put this one. He's going to put this one in the drink, and he's going to flub a dub. And Justin Rose, who led early and then fell off and then came back, is going to finally win. And he's going to get his first Masters win. And he's going to make good for 2017 when he last went to a Masters playoff and didn't come through. This was, for a lot of golf fans, so cathartic, so poetic, so entertaining, because Rory's one of those guys. He is a legitimate global sports figure. He's a supremely popular international figure. But I just couldn't help but think, with his unbelievably emotional response, I'm sure most hyper super golf fans, Masters fans, dads who were, you know, probably burnt their fingers trying to follow that viral TikTok recipe of making uncrustable pimento cheese sandwiches over the weekend. I tried, failed miserably, but damn, they look good. I hope each and every one of us in this lifetime has a moment as significant that there. I want everybody to just experience whatever it was that Rory McIlroy felt when he finally won, when he sunk that 2-foot putt for the win to give himself the career slam and finally end that jinx. He was just so unbelievably almost out of body. He was just convulsing with joy and the tears, and just imagining his entire life being raised to do this, you know, hitting golf shots on Irish TV shows when he was 9, all this stuff. Like, what a special moment. And number two, that's one of the great finally moments in recent American sports. And it was pretty awesome.
Can I be honest, Fitzy?
Nope,
I did not find it enjoyable to watch.
Oh my God, I thought the
ultimate moment was incredible. I loved it. I was so happy for him. Love seeing him go over to the family, to his caddy, who he has this awesome relationship with. They're each other's best men in their weddings. Like, love all of that. But I didn't think it was joy. It was just relief. And this is why I'm not a golf person overall, be it player or watcher. It was like a freaking root canal. Watching those final 5 holes I'm like, come on, Rory's not going to do this again, right? He's not going to choke again, right? Like, I feel like this is, maybe it's just a very millennial experience of watching this and being like, you thought that you had it, but don't turn around. There's another recession over your shoulder. Like, I was not having a good time at all watching it. The aftermath was great. I sat and I watched the clubhouse interview and mm-hmm. him getting the jacket. Have a lot of questions about how many jackets they put together every year for whoever might win. I'm glad that Rory got it. And
no.
Today, it's so great to talk about, but it was like, I don't even follow golf closely, and I'm mm-mm. chewing my nails down watching this, feeling like I'm watching a car crash in slow motion. Like, this is what people do to blow off steam. It was too stressful. And I felt like we were so close to the line of complete calamity. That's not fun for me. I wasn't having a good time.
Well, I mean, were you having a good time? How many different times when the Celtics were on the line, on the wire, about to lose? How many times as for Patriots fans? Super Bowl 51 was a largely miserable effing experience for Patriots fans, and yet now we're all able to remember it as perhaps the greatest night, the greatest game, one of the greatest moments of our lives.
It's about the golf side of it, though. It's like, it's
the sports side of it to me.
It's so slow motion. Because at least you feel like you can have these dramatic swings, like play by play or possession by possession. Watching golf, 80% of it is he's crouching on the green, just staring at the hole, being like, my life is falling apart in front of you here. My dream is about to die again. And ultimately it didn't. So we get to come here today and talk about it and be so happy and be like, you can achieve your dreams. Never give up. What a great message. I'm telling you, in the moment, I'm like, this is nauseating. This is not a good time. This is not a good time.
Yeah, that's like what I forget what movie it's from. It might be from Stand By Me, where he's like, hey, you want to see a dead body? Like, I thought
yes.
for a minute there, like, Rory was going to absolutely just lose it. Everybody thought, but that's what makes it such great theater. That's why I got this just pile of text messages from friends afterwards, like, man, you know, whether you love golf or not, this is why sports is the ultimate
it's
reality show.
It's akin to, like, cringe comedy.
This is such great theater. the memes that were coming out. Listen, I know a few things about cringe comedy.
No.
Yes,
I'm saying
was.
Like, you know, where it was a whole phase.
No, awkward, like The Office, Ricky Gervais style.
No, not
comedy,
even that,
yes.
But like Meet the Parents, where the whole thing is about things going wrong. That's how it felt watching. I'm like, look at him. He's gonna.
The comeback
something
so
about
great.
Mary, like he's gonna zip his fly up on prom night. Like that's how it felt watching Rory.
And I'm sure a lot of people felt like Ben Stiller.
At the end, Fitzy, it was great. It was great. But in the moment, I would be flat out lying to you if I told you I was enjoying myself. I was like, oh my God, I feel for this guy. This is awful. It's not like he's had like the smoothest year outside of golf either, reportedly, if you read page 6 and all that nonsense.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we don't need to get into that.
Okay. I
think things are great now. From what
okay,
I read.
I'm sure everything is wine, roses, sunshine, rainbows, puppy dogs, and unicorn sparkles for Rory McIlroy, as they should be as well right now. But see, again, this is why we watch. This is why I love playing golf. I went out with my father-in-law and my two kids yesterday, played 9 holes of golf, which I much prefer to 18. I think 18's a drag. Side note, if I was in charge of all American sports or just sports in general, golf would be 14 holes because 18 is far too many. By 15, I'm dragging. 16, I can't wait for 17 because 17 means I can see 18 and then we're finally done. Thank God. 14 is perfect. But like I played yesterday. I wanted to get into the spirit of things. I had the Masters on inside. And then when we're outside doing yard work, playing with the kids, cooking dinner, I had like my YouTube TV on my phone connected to the Bluetooth so I could hear it. And if there was a big shot, I'd run over and wind it back and watch it. Like, Mega, we don't have a lot of like moments anymore. We don't have a lot of zeitgeist that doesn't involve, you know, like political decisions and the kinds of things that are so highly volatile and contentious that most people don't want to discuss them. We really don't. We don't have a lot of where were you when moments that usually end with a more positive note or connotation. So in absence of the finale of Seinfeld or I don't know, Game of Thrones or something like that, we don't even have those kinds of shows anymore that unite us and then ultimately divide us. So we have to lean on sports. And for people that weren't even the biggest golf fans, Masters fans, Grand Slam fans, etc., Rory McIlroy fans, to have everybody watching and then communicating and see the volume of Instagrams, Facebook posts, social media, Twitter, X, etc., like, this was a little bit of a moment, and everyone kind of came around and understood.
I'm not arguing that.
Yeah,
I agree.
That's what I'm in for. You're not wrong.
It's a moment, but it's also a moment of just, again, like,
Yeah, sheer terror.
I was feeling emotions I didn't want to feel, especially about one of the sports that I care much less about than, say, the NBA and the NFL.
But it did that, so that's what's great.
It made me feel alive, but it also made my stomach hurt.
Yes, like the brakes went out on your emotional sports car and you were wondering if you were going to be able to get home or not, or if you were just going to end up in a ditch. Luckily, you didn't end up in a ditch. You ended up like you got home safely. Yet, not yet. I know. You got home and there was hubby waiting with a martini in the driveway. How about that? I think it was awesome.
It's cute you think we have a driveway.
Okay. It was more the image of the 1950s. Come on. But the and kind of a nice reversal of fortune, reversal of roles, as it should be. But to just know his story and how many times he's been there at the precipice, at the doorstep, and crapped the bed, and that he had a 5-stroke lead with like 8 holes to play. Like, this should have been fait accompli. It should have just been a victory lap. He was the one. Like, Bryson was gagging, and then he's got to live with the fact that like all he had to do was play on brand, like he had the first 3 rounds, and he could have been Masters champion. So Rory starts to gag it away, ends up in the playoff with Rose, who, like I'd mentioned, was in the playoff eight years prior. And the way that he was able to come back and hit that incredible second shot, get the bird, take the win. I mean, everybody felt it. By the way, the thing I wanted to comment on a few minutes ago when you were saying, like, you know, you love all the drama of the insight at the cottage. And then there's all that footage of Rory walking around the champions locker room. And you said, like, they talk about how many different jackets they make. I do want to know. So if they make a bunch of jackets on the final day, fit for everyone just in case they win, do the losers' jackets go to the children of, like, Guatemala or Ukraine, or do they get sent offshore just
well,
like
here's
you know, like,
the issue, like, do they just keep the blazer that they make for you in hopes that you're going to be there maybe 2 years later, and maybe they just have to let it out a little bit. Like,
what if you pudge
there's
out?
There's a side of me that is so boring that I'm dying for the in-depth story.
No,
with the,
that's amazing.
With the tailor of the Green Jackets, who's
who
like over
watch
here.
That?
You know, look at this. This jacket. This jacket has been waiting 11 years for this guy. Do you know how many times he's had to take it back out?
The lead tailor here at Augusta.
Fitzy, I just checked into this for you. So most of them
love this.
Go,
hello, Dan Balls, Diz Grimy Boys. How
hello,
are you?
Good afternoon. So most of them go to underprivileged third world countries, as you mentioned, and the rest go to Bill Belichick's girlfriend so that she can wear it 10 years past.
Side note, I hope everybody has had a chance to see the video of Jordan on field at practice with Bill Belichick this weekend. The fact that Savage Sports leaked out earlier today that Jordan signs all of her emails, COO Belichick Productions.
Unreal.
I mean, we are living in a simulation. And I thought we were most definitely living in a simulation when I saw her walking off the field, basically with the boots and jacket that Trinity wore in The Matrix. Like, what are you, girl, what are you doing? Where are we? Maybe she was just, you know, maybe she was feeling emboldened because she was excited about the Masters as well, Mego.
Chapel Bill.
Chapel Bill, baby. Just to set the table, of course, as always, 617-779-7937 is your telephone number. Should you like to call in and talk about your Masters moment, your Masters menu, your Masters recipe, or just plain, were you tuned in? Did you enjoy it? Did you have fun watching it? Did this mean something to you? Did the histrionics of Rory McIlroy's reaction and triumphant win push you over the edge, or did you really appreciate it? And let me ask you this, Mego. I think this is a larger scale way to frame the Rory McIlroy, should we say lead, regression, comeback, and ultimate victory. There have been so many great triumphs in sports for centuries. Teams, individual players, etc., that we thought would never clear the hurdle. They'd never get over that hump. They would never finally grab the fruit. And then eventually they do. Eventually they finally end their jinx, the century of repression, etc. So I'd like to ask you, where do you think, I'm not asking for a top five or top 10, but if you have one, feel free to. And anyone who wants to call in, rank them up, baby. We're here for you. Where does Rory finally winning his Masters rank for you on the finally getting over the hill and winning a championship in sports?
So, I mean, it's obviously the accomplishment is enormous for his sport itself. I just think that a lot of us are lying if we think that golf, even the Masters, even all the pageantry and worldwide attention that it gets, is up there for us U.S. fans with like the NFL, the NBA, the MLB. You would think the biggest breakthrough moment of all time, no matter what, of any professional sport ever, is just the Red Sox. The Red Sox as a franchise in 2004. So I think that that's pretty untouchable. But if you're talking about from an individual stance, I'd say it's probably top five. For me personally, the only other one that I think of is even Michael Jordan's first NBA championship. Mm-hmm. Because I think people now talk about the bulk of his career without going back to how long it took him to get there as a young player, going through kind of the iterations of the NBA that he was in.
How many seasons? I apologize for a step on your toes there, but how many seasons? Was it like seven seasons for Jordan? See, like people forget that. And I know it was eight for LeBron, but of course he had to join a super team, not win with the team that was built and that he raised the greatness of around him. So it was nearly a decade for Michael Jordan. People think that he was just born into championships because he's probably next to, he and Tom Brady are the two greatest winners. You got to throw Bill Russell in there too. Okay, he's one of the greatest winners in American sports history. He's the ultimate competitor, an ultimate winner, if you will. To me, it's always the Red Sox first. But then you think about it, like Peyton Manning. Remember he went almost a decade without getting to a Super Bowl and then finally winning one. Who did he have to go through? Tom Brady, Bill Belichick, and of course with the assistance of the flu and a fake home noise crowd and, you know, bad refereeing, he was able to get there and then play a Bears team that Brady would have beat by 50. No big deal. I'm still totally over it. It's one of those ones for me as well. I'm sure people on the text line at 617-779-7937 have some thoughts on this subject as well. But we have early phone engagement. I love when people want to call in and talk a little golf, no less.
I don't think people love how I felt about Rory McIlroy. I'm sorry, but it's just how I felt. Like, that's how I legitimately felt watching it. I felt like I was watching. I'm not saying that it wasn't an awesome moment. It's an awesome moment. It's a great triumph, and I love it for him. In the moment, tell me that you weren't just watching that, like, clutching, pulling your hair out, going, oh, my God, if you still have hair in your head, oh, my God, I can't believe he might choke this away.
Well, because I was also kind of excited that if it was anyone, it was going to be Rose, because he had never won one himself, and it would be a great tale to start to look like you're going to go box to wire, falter yourself. And everyone had been saying, all the buzz was, this is Rory's year. If he's ever going to do it, it's going to be now. This is his year. And his daughter, Poppy McIlroy, hitting that little tiny putt that went 30 feet in on par 3 day with the family on Wednesday. You could almost tell, like, Stiz, even you can barely spell golf, let alone play it or talk it on the radio. Even you got all the fatherly feels watching Poppy McIlroy hit that shot the other day.
No, I did not. No. Not at all.
All right, guys, we're just going to go to a super long commercial break. And when we come back, we'll have a new producer here on the show.
I don't know. Mego, stick to your guns. You are not the only one out there feeling like that. I promise.
All right. Well, let's bring in the good people that listen to WEEI and love a good bargument and a championship like I do. Okay, let's see. Steve in the truck wants to call him. Boy, I don't think I've talked to this guy in a long time. Hi, Steve. How are you?
Fitzy, my IPA buddy. How are you?
Oh, it's wonderful to hear from you, friend. How you doing?
You too, buddy. Hi, Mego.
Hey, how's it going, Steve?
Listen. That's not bad. I'm not a golf aficionado by any means. I don't watch it. I don't play it. I'm 72 years old. So, but my son likes it. I watched part of that yesterday at the end, and I said, this guy's going to do it again. But the part that bothers me about it is he's such a D-bag. He hugged his sister-in-law more. Yes, he is. He's a piece of garbage. He hugged his sister-in-law harder than he hugged his wife. He didn't even walk to the clubhouse with his family like every other golfer does when they win it. So, to me, he's just a D-bag. And you know what? Shine was talking about that this morning, Soz and Greg. And they're right. The guy, I don't understand it. 11 times, I just don't. I'm glad he won for himself. But as far as for the game of golf, I could care less about him. He's a clown. I don't like what he did at the end. I think he should have took his wife's hand and walked with her up to the clubhouse and got the jacket and all that and his family involved. But he didn't do that. They were there after. Walk with them like every other golfer did. You're not above everybody in the world. You know what I mean? I don't know. He rubs me the wrong way.
Listen, Steve, those are your feelings and you're entitled to them. That's a take, and that's why
I thought he seemed pretty affectionate with his family. Like,
Let's say Mego.
He also looked like he was emotionally on Mars. Like he couldn't have.
He was out of his mind.
Believe that he pulled it off. So he's just walking around, kind of staring up at the sky, and out of his mind.
I tell you who would never. Bill Belichick. Jordan would be right next to him.
She'd be in front, sharing all the joy. She would have him on a leash. Who are you kidding?
I mean, guys, there is a little bit of history behind this whole thing, not to go too far into
but let's hear it.
McIlroy recently was, him and his wife were filing for divorce relatively recently, and then it was rescinded. There were rumors about extramarital stuff going on involving one of the CBS reporters as well, and there was some varying levels of evidence to that. So it hasn't been the smoothest.
Count all of that in allegedly.
Yes.
Those are all rumors.
Yes,
100%. Allegedly.
Yes. These are nothing more than rumors. Nothing's been proven, but they're allegedly, things
so
have not been the cleanest
that was a year ago, and they're together now, and they seem, first of all, her outfit was amazing. I'm just going to be a girl for a second. That whole family is just adorable. So happy
beautiful
for them.
Beautiful daughter, handsome guy, beautiful wife.
But I even think about it, I don't know, man. It's incredible if you get to be a professional athlete, and Fitzy, the professional athletes and former athletes that we've gotten to work with, including Ted Johnson. Like, it's such a different perspective. If you ever watch one of those games with somebody's family while they're actively playing, I talk about it was hard for me to just watch a stranger look like he's going to choke on the precipice of greatness.
Oh my God. It's for them, it's like they're playing Squid Game.
Like I'm going to guess Poppy has no idea what's really going on. Her dad's just at work. But his wife is also probably just like melting into the ground going, oh my God, if he chokes here, if I 11 years,
I'll never hear the end of this.
Well, just like, you're right there with them. So I think you got to lend a little grace to everyone when the cameras are on and you've just accomplished something like that. You're probably just wandering around being like, is this real life or is this a dream?
One more quick call before we catch you guys up on what's trending in the wide world of sports and carry on with the program here. Charlie's in Boston. Charlie, what's up, man?
Hey, so Mego, the pleasure is in the pain, okay? You're like watching a car accident.
You're a sicko,
like,
Charlie.
And then seeing everybody survive, but also, like, if you play golf yourself and have played competitive golf or have played in any tournaments, like, you get a better feeling for, like what it means to these guys and why they're pacing around and, like, everything that goes into the different shots and what they're trying to do. But, I mean, yesterday was cinema. Like, the way it was, you could not have written up a better script. And just for the absolute roller coaster of emotions that everybody felt, it was just great. But, yeah, there's pleasure in the pain, Mego.
If it's cinema, it's
Thank you very much for the call, Charlie. Have a great day, guys.
It's an Ari Aster film. Like, it's...
Stop it. I watched that.
Like somebody and I saw sawing their own head off.
I saw the meme
so great.
Scorsese sitting there, like, in black and white, just going, absolute cinema. I saw, like, speaking of cinema, I saw that the movie meme, I forget what that was from, where it's like one person about to be shot by another person. It was like Rory, Rory, Rory. Everyone that had a gun pointed at each other. Then there's the assassin in the balcony, and it also said Rory, because everyone knew he was his own worst enemy with over a decade plus of failing at the doorstep of greatness here. I don't know. I love the fact that people saw it as something bigger than just winning a golf match, something bigger than just even a Grand Slam golf event. Yes, it's the Masters, but it was tremendous. And look, if it dragged you to the television, Mego, if it brought about this kind of response from you, then the Masters more than did their job this year.
And Fitzy,
and so did Rory.
There's something from the Masters that we're going to talk about in the 3 o'clock hour. It's not golf centric, so if you're sick of the golf talk, don't worry about that. But it is something that I think every other professional sport should take a cue from. Like, it's so obvious to me, and every time I watch the Masters, I'm so impressed with it. And it's not Jim Nantz.
I was just going to say, I don't want to blow your lead for your 3 o'clock stance, but I too am into affordable concessions, Mego. So yes, that's exactly.
That's right. We need it. We need the pimento cheese at TD Garden for the playoffs.
Yeah. 617-779-7937 is your gateway to all the sports conversation, text messages, and so much more here on WEEI Afternoons. Go ahead and give us a follow as well if you care to, and engage on Twitter or Instagram at WEEI Afternoons. Let us now entertain and inform you, though, with the best in trending sports news locally and beyond with our fabulous producer extraordinaire, Mr. Dan Ball.
Looking to improve your diet in the new year? Try seeing a personal dietitian with Nourish. Nourish has hundreds of dietitians who specialize in a variety of health concerns, including weight loss, gut health, and more. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your personal dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe, without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything, to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy-Stevens, and Ted Johnson.
Ah, they don't make them like Robin Williams anymore, or ever. The great, great, sadly departed Robin Williams and his iconic golf stand-up routine, which is probably what people like Stiz and others in our audience or around the world are thinking or wish they were watching, as opposed to the actual golf that they need to be aware of so as to talk about it or produce it the next day on the radio, around the water cooler, or wherever Masters-based Rory McIlroy-centric conversations are being had. Fitzy and Mego here on WEEI Afternoons. Andy Hart is off today. Ted Johnson back with us tomorrow at 3 p.m. in studio as well. Mego, I know the people, we heard from several during our first break, I know the people were hot and bothered on the text line as well, both with your original, with your spin on the Masters.
With my honesty.
Your honesty that you couldn't handle the car crash theater, as well as the question we asked the audience, where did this rank for you in terms of all-time great hurdle-clearing, hill-climbing sports championship theater? Did you happen to see any comps that you liked?
So the two that we got on the text line most frequently, two different people said Ray Bourque, which obviously has a lot of standing around here. A lot of people who are watching that with fascination. And then the other one, I think because we brought up the Red Sox and somebody chimed in watching Rory yesterday was like watching the Red Sox for 86 years. The other one that people threw in were the Cubs, which I guess you can use as a parallel to the Red Sox. Mm-hmm.
Oh, most definitely. As a matter of fact, that even extended longer. 86 years, it was a difficult 86 years, no less. The Cubs going well over a century as well. Yeah, see, there's something special to that. Whether it's an individual like Michael Jordan or Peyton Manning or Rory McIlroy or LeBron James or another figure of American or international sports greatness, finally reaching the pinnacle of their sport, the achievement that has eluded them for so long, finally getting there, that's pretty special. It's great for all of them as well. I just think I'm with you. This one felt top five. Maybe in terms of individual, it's top three. In sports overall, I guess I'd put it five or definitely in the top 10 as well. Another great question as we were discussing matters during the break as well that would be fun to throw out to you, the audience as well. Feel free to call or text us on this one as well. Okay, so where does it rank in terms of people who have had to climb that hill or get out of their own way to finally achieve their dream and win that title, championship, etc.? Who's the next Rory? This is a Mega Nottolini special right here. Who's the person, the athlete, the team that's so desperate for their breakthrough moment? Rory finally broke through yesterday. He completes the career slam, one of only six golfers to ever do so. Good for him. That's all the golf talk you want to hear. Now frame it in terms of sports I care about, dummy. Okay, well, that's just what we're trying to do. Who's that next person that needs the breakthrough moment? I think... who is it?
Josh Allen.
Josh. You know what? I might even say Lamar Jackson because
he's
a two-time MVP. We were talking about him on Friday, weren't we?
Yeah. But I feel like Josh feels closer to me than Lamar, and it really just feels like the only thing standing in Josh Allen's way is Patrick Mahomes, and it feels like the reverse side of the Brady life that everybody around here lived. In the AFC. And so
the
it's
only
like
thing standing in Peyton's way. Yeah,
exactly. Like he feels more, I guess, more akin to like Peyton Manning now.
In a lot of ways. Yeah, no, he definitely, I mean, how many times Manning had got thwarted by Brady in 2003 and 2000. He was his own enemy in 2001 and two. He got thwarted by Brady in 03 and 04. 05, he was his own worst enemy. We had some protection problems out there. And then in 06, finally, he clears the hurdle and breaks through Brady.
The other one I would say that we're watching in real time that will become very real if it isn't achieved in the next 2 years, and people might not like this, but I think Jason Tatum winning MVP. I think if Jason Tatum isn't an MVP in the next two seasons, we start to look at that 20 years later and go, how is this guy never even finishing top three MVP?
Like league
how,
MVP.
How, yeah. League MVP, not finals MVP. Not
so
Eastern
finals
Conference
MVP
finals
won't
MVP.
Do this for him? You don't think?
No. League MVP. It's a different kind of award. It's a reward for the regular season. And this year it looks like Jokic, SGA, it's just a two-man race between the two of them, at least from a statistical standpoint. Mm-hmm. I'm just wondering, because Jason Tatum has really said it's team first, it's championships first, and that's the right way to approach it, and that's what all the fans want. But at some point, do we look at it and go, hey, Jason Tatum, like, are we looking at it and going, Jason Tatum's 31, Jason Tatum's 32, he hasn't gotten his MVP season yet. What does the league have against him?
Yeah, that's
that's just me projecting forward because JT doesn't get enough love. I was just watching some of the top 10 lists that the NBA was putting out today. He's number 4 in jersey sales, number 10 in like social media clicks or something, which you know that those guys care about.
Of course they do. Of course they always do. They don't just check their own mentions. Don't they have people checking their engagement and their clicks? And there's a handler or a team for every one of those guys, correct?
I would guess so. It's the world we're living in.
Right. I would say, I'm going to say Lamar Jackson over Josh Allen just because he's been at it a little longer, just because, and obviously his name has been swirling around and about here because he's mentioned in Bill Belichick's book, The Art of Winning, because Belichick says or admits that of the mistakes that he made, not drafting Lamar Jackson in 2018 was one of his bigger mistakes. I'd like to also add that not drafting A.J. Brown in 2019 was also one of Belichick's bigger mistakes. But what do I know? I'm just a fan in the stands, and he is the Beau of Jordan and also the GOAT coach in the NFL history. I'm going to go Lamar over Josh Allen, but if anyone has a different player locally as well as nationally that they would like to weigh in on, you know how to get in touch with us, 617-779-7937. And so now we can all go back to just letting our friends that obsess over golf care about golf. We don't have to talk about the Masters anymore. No more of the Masters theme, the azaleas, the flowers, the Nance voice, all that jazz. You don't have to open Venmo and see every single guy friend of yours sending $20 or $40 to a friend.
Why do people do
because
that?
Because they're in Masters
question,
tournaments?
Wait, real question. Why do people make their Venmos public? I find that so weird.
I do too.
I don't get that at all.
You know, why do you want to be somebody's friend and then everyone can see it? So it's like, you know, I've Venmoed
so
people.
When I open Venmo just to send a dinner check, I'm like, all these people are showing like, hey, I still am splitting rent with my wife or whatever. And I'm like, this is weird. Why do you have this public setting on? You
100%.
Everybody, in case you don't know this and you use Venmo, you can you can turn that off. You're sending people checks doesn't have to be a social media platform.
That's a great post. Man, these are all great teases leading into your three-point stance. At 3 o'clock. And
I know,
by the way,
I'm going to sound 1,000 years old.
Yeah, you're going to lose me at three. But
Listen, young lady yelling at clouds is going to be a great segment at 3 o'clock. Folks, if you were bothered, irked, irritated, or found Mego's comments at 2 o'clock about the Masters, Rory, golf, etc. to be incendiary, do not miss 3 o'clock. It's, of course, our 3-point stance. I'll have a take of the day. Mego will have one, and we'll even give one to Stiz and Dan behind the glass, back in the producer's box. Don't you go anywhere. When we come back, it's eventually time now, finally, yes, to talk about the Red Sox. There was triumph on the golf course yesterday at Augusta, and there was disgust on the field at Rate Field in Chicago on the south side over the weekend. When we get back, I'll tell you exactly why I do believe it is time to start worrying about your 2025 edition of the Boston Red Sox here on WEEI Afternoons.
Now, more of WEEI Afternoons
with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson.
The pitch. is swung on and missed. He got him. And the ball game is over. A night to forget for the Red Sox. Fireworks explode. 11-1 Chicago. Sox need a bounce back tomorrow in a big-time way. Chapman is ready at the letters. He throws. Swinging a shot into left field, and the White Sox are going to win the game. Rounding third is Robert. He will score. Andrew Vaughn has won the series for the White Sox. The final today is 3-2.
Against Major League Baseball's feeding cart that other hardball vultures have gone to and feasted upon the body and remains of regularly, your 2025 Boston Red Sox, who we had all whipped ourselves into a frenzy and lather over with the hype and the excitement of Bregmania, Jaron Duran continuing his MVP surge and journey, Walker Buehler, Garrett Crochet coming to town, Aroldis Chapman, the kids, the rookies, so many reasons to get fired up for your Red Sox, who now sit at 8-9, losers of the weekend, losers of the series, losers of 2 out of 3 against the Pale Hose, the White Sox in Chicago, the worst team in the history of baseball last year, a team that was looking at that 41 and 121 record and saying, you know what? I think there's a way we could top that. I think we could even be worser. We can be better at being worse.
Let's have everyone get surgery.
Everybody got surgery.
That's how the White Sox entered the season. Why don't you guys take some time to take care of yourselves? Go get Tommy John.
Honest to God. It was like a chicken pox party or everyone like meeting up and deciding to get pregnant at the same time. They had a Tommy John party.
What is your social life?
Yeah. Honest to God. What a bizarre, bizarre team. And what an awful, awful weekend of baseball. I was at a show in Cape Cod Friday night. Shout out Red Nun, Dennis Port. Great times.
Brag.
And it's okay. I'd even go further. I was performing Friday night there. It was even better.
Okay.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. And I didn't have to worry about anybody at this popular sports pub where there was a stand-up comedy show, Mego, looking at the TV screens, because I noticed that the people in the back that had their eyes on the Celtics game at first and then the Red Sox game all got real interested in the show about halfway through the game. And I was like, oh, man, the Sox must be whooping up on them. The show ends. I walk to the back of the bar, and I look up, and it's like an 11-1. And I just yelled out, what the f-? And I finished the F word out loud. And people were just like, this team sucks.
This team
scored 6 runs over the weekend, Mego. 1, 2, and 3. Great job, guys. You went up a run per day. You scored an average of 2 runs against the worst pitching staff and the worst team in baseball. And you lead Major League Baseball in strikeouts and errors. And yet somehow, as Dan Ball pointed out on our pre-show meeting, the Red Sox are still only 1 win out from being tied for the most wins in the American League. I mean, the American League on the whole is wholly disappointing. But the Red Sox should be running away with the American League at this point, not like apologetically trying to keep up with it.
I was listening to the Midday guys, Jones and Keefe, and I thought they did an excellent job of just asking the question, where do you look now? Because we've been so conditioned, and rightfully so, over the last couple years to look at the payroll, to look at ownership, and say they're just not even invested. They're not even trying before spring training to put together a major league roster. Right. And now you look at it, and they have spent the money, and they do have the pieces. And so are you just chalking that up to having a freezing cold series at Fenway where then the bats also went freezing cold, and now you're rebounding from that? Because it's really tough to justify what you had to watch Friday and Saturday against the White Sox. It's really tough to look at the manager who they just re-signed, and I think it was a good move, but all the money that they're spending on the payroll, on these pieces, bringing young guys up, having so much talent, it's early in the season, but looking at where you're leading in strikeouts and errors and saying this just looks way sloppier than this group of guys should. So where do you look to blame for that? I feel like you had to spread it around a little bit, but for the first time, I'm sitting here saying we can't really like turn our nose up at ownership. They actually did, for the most part, what they were supposed to do. Now it's on these guys to figure it out by the time you get to May or June.
So Garrett Crochet is 3-1 since acquiring him. He got a video tribute from the White Sox on Friday night, and then he responded by almost throwing a perfect game, or at least a no-hitter on Sunday, getting into the eighth inning before giving up his first hit. He gets pulled after 96 pitches. They're 3-1, like I said, in those games. Otherwise, they're 5-8 in games Garrett Crochet doesn't start. That's really, really terrible. The pitching has not been the problem, by and large. Very few pitchers have come in and gotten their lunch handed to them, as Eck would say. Very few guys have gotten bombed and shellacked. The hitting has just been ghastly. I mean, we're 17 games in. One more game means we are exactly 1/9 of the way through the season. So again, still on the smaller side of sample sizes. But the fact that they're booting the ball all over the infield, nobody can field for love, sex, or money. It's like they were all issued ceramic frying pans and not actual baseball gloves. Bregman has made a bunch, probably more than I think most of us expected he would make all year. Is there something they're teaching them? Is there some weird jinx or malaise or
is
something?
Is it drive line?
I don't know, but yeah, exactly. Drive line, my God.
It's drive line. That's the new evil. You haven't heard? Everything's drive line's fault.
Everything's drive line now. It's all about the new, that's the latest new evil, drive line. There are so many different evils, so many different terms in baseball I can't stand. And now drive line is just the latest in a long series of them. I can't figure out what it is. Cora wants a hyper athletic team. He wants to be able to play small ball. You got guys regularly swinging out of their socks. He keeps saying they're swinging at strikes, but they miss them all the time. It's not just one little something you can put your finger on, Mego. It's like a pile, a litany of things going wrong with the Red Sox right now. So that is a great question they asked on the midday show. Where do you go next for a fix? And do you try to fix all of it at once, or do you just try to start small and go baby steps?
I think you just have to do baby steps. What else are you gonna? You can't fix it all at once. And I still have high hopes for this team. I don't think that people who are looking at this team and seeing 90 plus wins need to adjust those expectations. You don't need to adjust your expectations in April. Get out of here with that. But I do think that you look a little sideways at the start. And as you said last week, Fitzy, these games matter as much as the games in August do. Maybe you haven't figured out as much, but they matter towards your standing. So, yeah, there's work to be done.
617-779-7937. Mego's right. They all count. And if you miss the playoffs, if you're in a wild card battle, if you can't win the AL East because you finish a game or two behind the Yankees, who are hardly covering themselves in glory in the post-torpedo bat era, well, you may be pointing back to the fact that you couldn't sweep the Sox. Foolish me. Shame on me for saying this should be a get-right trip, and between the Rays and the White Sox, you should lose one, maybe two games tops. You already lost those games, so now you can't afford to go down to unsold-out Steinbrenner Field and not, run roughshod against the Rays, but I don't know where I'd get the confidence from that. All right, when we come back, it is the 3 o'clock hour, ladies and gentle fans, which means it's going to be time for the three-point stance. We got one from Stiz and Dan in the producer's box. I got something for you about the week or so that is to come, and you are not going to want to miss Mego's three-point stance, because if you got fired up about her golf takes, wait till you hear about something inspired by the fans in attendance at the Masters. We're having a good time. Thanks for joining us here on WEI Afternoons.